The views expressed on the Making It Matter podcast are that of Gunnar Esiason, Julia Ray, and guests, and not necessarily those of the Boomer Esiason Foundation. Nothing in the Making It Matter podcast should be considered medical advice. Such advice can only be given by a physician who is experienced with cystic fibrosis. The Boomer Esiason Foundation, Gunnar Esiason, Julia Ray, and guests cannot be held responsible for any damage which may result from using the information on this podcast without the permission of your medical doctor. You're listening to the Making It Matter podcast with Gunnar Esiason and Julia Ray, presented by the Boomer Esiason Foundation and GunnarEsiason.com.
Hey there, it's Gunnar Esiason, and thanks for joining Julia and I for episode 41 of the Making It Matter podcast series, Being a Mother with Cystic Fibrosis.
Hi, everyone. Making It Matter is a weekly podcast presented by the Boomer Esiason Foundation and GunnarEsiason.com, highlighting the challenges that people with CF face and the people who face them.
Since Julia, our guest, and I all have cystic fibrosis, we're already compliant with the National Cystic Fibrosis Guidelines regarding patient interaction and cross-infection by recording via Skype. This podcast was made possible by Novartis, Vertex Pharmaceuticals, and the Digital Credit Union. So big thanks to them for always supporting BEF educational initiatives. All right, so today we head to Alaska, where it turns out there's 20 hours of daylight these days, and we join Sabrina Smith Walker, who's 30 with CF, and not only does she have CF, but she's actually also a cancer survivor and the mother of a little boy. So, Sabrina, why don't you say hi to our audience and tell us a little bit about yourself?
Okay, hi. My name is Sabrina, and I am currently in Anchorage, Alaska, like Gunnar said. I'm about to be 31 years old. I have a wonderful husband named Adam. And we have a two-year-old son named Leo, who does not have cystic fibrosis. I believe in running as a form of airway clearance for myself, so I'm passionate about that. And I'm also a cancer survivor. When I was 18 years old, I was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. And I went through 4 months of chemotherapy and a month of radiation. And this year I will be 12 years cancer-free. So that's a big celebration for me. And I am just enjoying life. And I just got out of the hospital last night, so I'm doing at-home IV antibiotics right now. So life's a little more crazy than normal, but we're getting through it.
Yeah, well, that makes two of us because I'm also on IVs. Sort of that time of year, I think.
Yeah, I just caught a cold and it couldn't kick it.
Yep, I know exactly what you mean there. So let's sort of go to the beginning here, especially the cancer diagnosis, because I know that probably can freak some people out. But yeah, obviously, you got through it. What kind of toll did that take on your health?
When I was a senior in high school, I started experiencing these really, really random back pains, and they would come and go. And I just kind of thought, you know, oh, it's nothing, because they were coming and going. Oh, it's nothing. I did something to my back, or and then that summer after I graduated high school, the back pain stayed, and it never went away. And I started getting really bad shooting pains down my legs, and I started losing feeling in my right foot. And so I started rapidly losing a lot of weight. So I knew something was wrong, and we made an appointment, and they took an x-ray of my spine, and they said that I had a tumor on there, but it was probably benign because I was so young and this happens. And they went to go take the, do an open surgery to take the tumor out, and they biopsied it and decided to leave it in because it was cancerous. And the effects on my spine, they weren't sure what would happen. If I'd have long-term effects from them removing part of my bone off my spine. So we decided to do chemotherapy to see if the tumor would shrink. And we did that, and it luckily it worked for me. It was definitely a really scary time. It was having cystic fibrosis is not fun, and you have your scary times and the what ifs and the unknown. But in that situation, I was really angry because I thought, why do I have to deal with cystic fibrosis and cancer? Mm-hmm. And why do I have to go through this? And just anger. I was so young. I was really embarrassed because I lost my hair. And, you know, all my friends were leaving for college. And my boyfriend, who is now my husband, we were doing long distance. And he was in West Virginia and I was in Alaska. And
wow, that's very long distance.
Yeah. So there were these times where I felt really hopeless, really vulnerable, really sad. And I can definitely say that I was probably even a little depressed at the time. But I didn't want to admit that. Mm-hmm. And so it was really hard. But as I got through it and it became a part of my life, I realized, you know, the only thing I can do right now is be positive and look forward to all the things that I do get to enjoy in life. So, you know, I love food, so I can eat all the good food that I want to eat.
And looking to the positives there.
Yeah. So I started thinking like that and enjoying the moment instead of holding on to the sadness and the darkness. And I think that helped me get through it. And of course I have an amazing support system of family and friends, and they really helped get me through that time as well. So it was very hard, but I got through it. And I look back and it was a huge emotional and learning experience, I would say. Like, just looking back and thinking, wow, I made it through that. And if I can do that, then nothing's going to hold me back.
Well, it's certainly an amazing way to look at it as a learning experience, as, you know, amongst other things. But I think Julie and I always talk about, you know, positive reinforcement and how and how being positive and setting sort of goals for yourself and being able to enjoy, you know, the little things in life, and how that sort of does play a larger role in dealing with so much adversity, whether it be CF or in your case, CF and cancer.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that, because I think it's so easy to get wrapped up in the negativity. And when you're scared and you're not, you know, you're not really sure what's going to happen. It's so easy to just get pulled down and think, oh, why am I here? Why enjoy this? But in reality, it's life is what you make it. So if you can add some positives, I watched a podcast and you said, write down 5 things that you're grateful for every day. And I definitely agree with that. If you can just reflect on, wow, okay, I have a wonderful friend, or I'm reading a really good book, just enjoying the simple things in life. It's just trying to reflect on those.
Yeah, for sure. I was thinking of the gratitude journal when you said you were looking at the positives too. So I think that's definitely something to reinforce for our listeners. Yes. Too, and everyone really. It's the way to look at life.
I agree, and I have a journal right now that I write in. It's a 5-year journal, so it has, you know, you write the date and you write about what you did that day or whatever, whatever you want to write. And then you just write every day, and then the next year you go back and you write on that same day.
Oh, that's cool.
What you're doing, so you can go back and reflect on what you wrote that previous year. So I thought that. I would do that because Leo does so many little things right now, and I don't want to forget them. So I think it'd be funny, you know, to kind of reflect on those every year. So when he's trying to say fork and it sounds like a bad word, I can remember that. And that, you know,
Gunnar and I get questions often about motherhood with CF, which Gunnar can't talk and I can't talk about. So can you kind of take us through your journey and how you even, you know, arrived at, you know, wanting to make it a reality and then starting the process, and just kind of take us through all of that?
Yeah. So, when Adam and I got married, we really didn't know if I would be able to have children just because I had gone through chemotherapy and radiation. And then on top of that, it can be difficult for women with CF to get pregnant. And so we didn't really, we knew that that was a possibility and maybe we would adopt or, but it was just kind of in our future. We were probably married for about 3 years when we thought that if we do want to have children, we should start the process in case we need to do, you know, IVF or IUI, and we knew that would might be a long journey for us. So we had Adam tested for the cystic fibrosis gene, and it came back that he did not have that gene. So we were thinking, okay, well, we'll wait a couple years. You know, we have that good news. We'll wait a couple years and kind of see where life takes us. And I think it was about a year later, it was a huge surprise when I thought, you know, I think I might be pregnant. This is really weird. I thought maybe, but then I was thinking that couldn't be. So I waited, I think I waited like a week, and I finally I was like, okay, I just better take the test. And I took the test and I was pregnant. And
what was your initial reaction to that?
Well, first of all, I stopped at this, we have a grocery store here called Cars, and I stopped there and I was like, can I use the bathroom? And they said, no, guests can't use the bathroom. So I was like, well, I'll go to work. Cause I was on my way to work and I was at work and I went to the bathroom and I got out and I was like, oh my gosh, what do I do? I was like in shock. I was total shock. And I didn't even think about, how carrying a baby would affect me or anything like that. It was just complete shock that it even happened. It ended up, I called Adam like 10 times and he called me back later. He's like, what's wrong? Are you okay? And I was like, I'm pregnant. And he kind of was silent for a little bit, like, are you kidding? Like, are you playing a joke on me? And I was like, no, this is real. So it was really exciting. It was startling. It was shocking. And it was it was an incredible moment just because you think something is not possible and you get proved wrong.
what was the pregnancy like with obviously your treatments and you were dealing with CF and there's obviously a lot that goes into CF care. So how did all of that impact the whole pregnancy plan? And obviously you must have had a meeting of the doctors, a meeting of the minds to sort of come up with a good plan.
So I will say I did have a talk with before I knew about Leo or anything. I did have a talk with my doctor saying that, you know, we're interested in having children. What are our first steps? What do we need to do? Is it okay for me to have a child? And they told us the first step was to get Adam tested. And they said that this would be the best time in my life right now to start the process because I was healthy. And, you know, you never know what can happen. So they gave me the green light. to go forward and look into having, you know, we just didn't know what to do with the whole thing. So it was kind of, you know, what are our next steps? What do we need to do? But I actually had a pretty good pregnancy. I didn't have any morning sickness, so I was lucky with that. I know some women have really bad morning sickness, and I think that probably would have made pregnancy a lot worse. But I did end up getting gestational diabetes. So, and I did deliver Leo around 37 weeks. So around the time they were going to put me on insulin, I actually delivered Leo. So I didn't actually have to take insulin, but I did have to watch my food and take my blood sugars. I also have this one copy of Factor V Leiden, which is this blood clotting disorder where you're... So I had to take Lovenox, which is a blood thinner. You give yourself a shot in the stomach every day.
Oh, how was that? So
it wasn't too bad.
It's not a big deal. Whatever.
I had like a little bit of like skin to pinch because my stomach was so big. It was kind of like it. It was so, like sometimes a little bit would like come back out because my stomach was so big. I didn't have a lot of room. But it was just it. I got through it, and I was high risk, so I ended up getting to see Leo on the ultrasound a lot more than most people do. And I had a very good pregnancy. I know he was sat really low, so I didn't have a lot of issues with him pushing on my lungs as much as some other people do, because he was really low. I know some women experience their baby being up higher and they have a harder time breathing. We also had to kind of rework my medicines. I was on Inhaled Toby when I was first, and then I found out I had Leo and they had me switch to Kaestin. And, you know, there were times where I needed antibiotics, but I couldn't take some of them, so we kind of waited it out and would hope that Kaestin would work and, there, you know, maybe doing a tune-up, IV antibiotics, just because some of the IV antibiotics are... you can take while you're pregnant, but I didn't have to do that. So I was pretty lucky.
Oh, so it sounds like there's a lot that goes into it.
Yeah. There's a lot of different components. A lot of planning, working with your doctors a lot. Yeah.
Wow. Sounds like
it's manageable.
So then you find, you know, as you approach, you know, when you did give birth and then finally you do have Leo, you know, what was it like, you know, as soon as you became a mother, what was your initial emotion there?
So as soon, you know that you love this little person that's growing in you, but as soon as he was born, I think that my whole like DNA changed and like rewired to have my whole world focused around this little human. he's like, it's pretty crazy. You know, you see mom, you think before you have children, you think I'm not going to let him watch TV or like, I'm not going to do this or that. And then everything goes out the window because this little person is like your whole heart. It was pretty incredible. The love that you have for your child is miraculous. And it's one of the most wonderful things that I've ever experienced. It's also one of the hardest things I've ever had to do as well.
Wow. Yeah, how do you balance all of it? You know, being a mom and CF care, you know, it's like, and even take us through like a day in the life. I'm sure that that's okay. Exhausting.
Well, when he was first born, he, there's different stages, and I think the different stages are hard in different ways. You know, when they're so little and you're trying to get them, you know, you don't get a lot of sleep. You're really tired, and that's not good when you have CF. You need to get a lot of sleep. But just trying to manage this new person that relies on you to live was hard. Like I feeding them and doing your treatments and feeding yourself and trying to take a shower and, you know, do all these components was really hard. And right when I thought I was, you know, getting in the sink of everything, he was 5 months old, and I needed to get IV antibiotics, and that was really difficult because I was nursing him, and so I was doing antibiotics and I was pumping because I couldn't nurse him while I was on these antibiotics, but I still wanted to nurse him when I was done doing my treatments, you know, and Adam works all day, so. It's hard, you know, it's hard. It was really hard trying to balance it all. But luckily, you know, they grow so fast that it's a moment. And I look back and I think, gosh, you know, he was so little and tiny and he just wanted to be held. And now he's just crazy and runs around. And so, yeah, for me, I wake up, I do my treatment, my inhaled treatments, and then I kind of wait. If I have time, I'll shower before he wakes up, but sometimes I don't. So, I have an abundance of dry shampoo in my hair, and I don't think it even made a difference. When he wakes up, we go and we go make him breakfast, and we take my pills and kind of get him ready. And I work part-time, so my mom will come over, and I get ready for work, and I work from 10 to 2. So I go to work, and that's kind of a nice break. I can do my medicine at work. I do my casein at work and take my pills and kind of get organized. And then I come home and we start getting ready to make dinner and play a little bit. And when he has nap time, you just hope it's longer than an hour. But, you know, nap time,
small victories.
Like, yeah. When they go down for a nap, you kind of sit down and, I can play on my phone a little bit and make dinner or do whatever I need to do. Sometimes I take a nap. But then he wakes up and he's ready to go, and he's starting to talk now. So he says, snack, 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 and he'll go in there and pull out, like, candy bars and... You know, you have to say, no, we're not going to eat that right now. You have to eat something else. But it's really go with the flow. Every day is not really the same because you can't predict what he's going to do or what he needs. Or if he's, you know, when he gets a cold, it's hard because he relies on me for everything. And you want to try to, you're like, oh, please don't sneeze on me. Please don't cough on me. Oh, you just picked your nose and... You're trying to put your finger in my mouth. Thank you. But he doesn't know that. He doesn't know that his sickness is so scary for me. But it's just really go with the flow, trying to get through the day and trying to do all that you can in the day to make sure you're doing what you need to do for myself and him and I like to take him on jogs with me, so we'll go jogging every other day, and even in the winter time. Oh. So he likes it. He kind of just relaxes, and now he likes airplanes a lot, and so we have a lot of little float planes that fly around, and he's like, oppie, oppie. That's how he says airplane. And he's just screaming, oppie, oppie. And, you know, people are coming by like, what is that little guy doing? But, yeah, it's just a lot of managing your day.
So it sounds like you're sort of not only learning on the job, but there's also the teamwork makes the dream work. And it's, you know, the support system that it sounds like you have around you is something that's critical to not only your success with CF, but also your success as a mom and also in life as a whole.
Absolutely. I have an incredible support system. My mom and my dad live in Anchorage too. They live, so my mom and my dad and my in-laws all live about a mile away from us. So, we're pretty, I mean, you know, normally I think people would be like, oh my gosh, my in-laws live a mile away or my parents live a mile away. But for me, it's really helpful because there are some days I just can't do it all alone and I need help. And, like my mom is here right now and she's playing with Leo so that I can, you know, take a little bit of time and focus on, being a part of the podcast. So, and then my dad, I go to a running group every Wednesday and I do some boot camp classes. So my dad will come over and watch Leo while I go to those classes. And then Adam, you know, he gets home around 6:45 every night. And so then he helps with Leo and he helps with dinner and it's just, it's really a lot of people coming together to help me out. And I know that they sacrifice a lot in order for me to stay healthy. So I'm very, very appreciative for that.
It sounds like you've got a good system going on.
I do.
Now, before we close up here, I wanted to change gears for a moment because you've been a part of Team Boomer for the past several years. And I know you and Adam had a special moment at one of our events that I think we definitely need to touch on.
Okay. Yeah. So I was on Facebook and I saw that Team Boomer they had their inaugural Run to Breathe in New York City. And I thought, well, that's what I want to do for my graduation, because I was about to graduate college. And I said, that's what I want to do. I want to run my first 10K. I don't want to stop. I want to go to New York City. I've never been there. And that's going to be my big graduation present. And so I remember telling Adam about it, because I wasn't sure if he would want to go or not, but I was thinking, I'm going to do it no matter what. And so Adam said, oh, I'm going to do it. I'll go with you. And I was like, okay. So we planned to go, and it was July 9th. So I think I flew on July 7th, which is my birthday, and we got there like July 8th or something, and we,
because it takes forever to fly from Alaska to New York.
Yeah, it's like it takes about 10 hours. Oh. So we, we explored New York. We got on the hop-on-hop-off bus, went to Chinatown, and all these fun things. And then we went to the race, and it was like 90 something degrees and humid. And I remember
because I was there. I felt like I was gonna die.
I thought I was gonna go into a little salt puddle and just stay there forever, because it was so hot. And I'm used to like 60 degree summers. So we did the race. And I was so happy to be done. And Adam says, let's go for a walk. And I said, no, I don't want to go for a walk. It's like the last thing I want to do. And he's like, no, let's go for a walk. Look at that statue. And I was like,
it might be so weird right now.
Yeah, I was kind of sourpuss, like, let's get... Okay, you're kind
air
of
conditioning.
Crazy. Yeah. This is like the last thing I want to do. So I just kind of moped along, like, okay, fine. And we get to this.
It's your life, we're living in it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think we got to this part in the park. There was a pond. And I was like, hey, I got kind of excited. And I was like, hey, I think this was in Sex and the City. I think this part was in Sex and the City. And I kind of got excited. And I was like, okay, we can walk, you know. We got to this pond, and there was, like, little turtles in the pond. And I was just kind of like, look at all these turtles. And Adam was talking to me. And then for a moment, I realized, and I looked over, and he was very, like, in the moment and serious. And I was like, uh-oh, I better listen to this. And, then he proposed to me. So it was one of the best days of my life, because it just changed my life.
it certainly sounds like it. And I think, I have to imagine from, listening to your story, having been through so much through your entire life, obviously, beating cancer, having lived with CF for years, going through college, the whole thing, and then finally the have your now husband proposed to you at a CF event, and then go on to have a son of your own. It's, it sort of sounds like someone needs to like write a book about your life, I think.
Oh, I don't know about that. I'm just one of many people with cystic fibrosis. There are some incredible people that live with cystic fibrosis, and but it was, Team Boomer has been a very important part of my life. They've been there through some of the most special times for me. So I'm very thankful for that. And they've led me to achieve. So, they've been a part of so many big milestones in my life that it's, I'm just very thankful.
Well, we're happy to be a part of your life, because you're a total rock star. And I would be remiss to let you go without having the final word here. If you could give one piece of advice to, someone out there with CF who's thinking about becoming a mother one day, what would you say?
Ooh, okay. I would say that you have to take care of yourself and make sure that you're the healthiest version of yourself in order take care of someone else. So, you know, maybe you're, and I'll try to use an example, like, you know, when Leo was really little and he cried a lot and I was trying to get in a treatment, you know, try to get in as many treatments as you can. Don't forget to take your pills. Don't forget to go to the doctor. Don't let your health go. And if you need to ask people for help, ask for help, because it's just so important that we stay on top of our health. And yeah, it's, you know, it's a very big balancing part of life. So just asking for help, getting the resources that you need, and making sure that you are staying on top of your health as well.
Well, that's an awesome piece of advice, and you know, it sounds like you've certainly mastered it, and you're mastering it as we go on here.
I don't know if I'm mastering it, but I'll take your compliment.
Okay. Yeah, a huge inspiration to myself. I mean, thank you so much for coming on and talking, and I'm sure our listeners would agree that you inspire us all, and a lot of good advice for the young women out there that want to become mothers one day. Cool.
Well, thank you, and I appreciate you having me on your show, and I've really enjoyed watching all of the podcasts that you all do, because they're it's important information that sometimes isn't always talked about, so thank you.
We're happy to do it. It's also nice to know that somebody's watching and listening.
Yes.
but that's all the time.
Just talking to ourselves. Yeah,
we're not just screaming at the internet. But that's all the time we have for today. Thanks for tuning in for the 41st episode of Making It Matter. Remember, you can always follow along with our weekly podcast via my YouTube channel on GunnarEsiason.com and JuliaRay.com. And you can also follow us on iTunes. If you do that, make sure to like, share, review. For some reason, that's a good thing. And then you can also follow us on Instagram, which is at MakingMatter_CF. Do that. Important to like, share, review there as well. And if you want to see us podcast about something specific, we've obviously now talked about motherhood, I think, twice now, so hopefully we stop getting those questions, because Julie and I have no experience there. But if you want to see us podcast about something specific, you can always send us an email. My email is gunnersblog@assiason.org, or Julia's fantastically original email address,
JuliaRay@JuliaRay.com.
Or you can send us a message on Facebook, and we always love hearing from you. And we want to know what we basically want to know what you want to hear us talk about. You know, there's, you know, Julie and I can pontificate about a bunch of different things, but ultimately it comes down to what do you want to hear. And we are happy to deliver on that. So this is Gunnar Esiason. Sabrina, thanks for joining us today. And I will bid you guys adieu.
Bye, everyone.